So try it. Use it in your own life. Want to have a tough conversation? Just say, I don't think your dress is ugly, but if I was someone who did, I would tell you to change.
Hypothetically.
It's a strategy.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob.
Hello and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 316, To Green with Love, which originally aired on February 16th, 2000.
February 16th, did you say?
Yeah. Valentine's Day has come and gone.
Why did they air their Valentine's Day episode so early this season?
Yeah, I don't know.
So what are we drinking on this glorious day?
We are drinking The Principle, which is 1.5 ounces of vodka, 1.5 ounces of carrot juice, 1/4 ounce of amaretto, 1/4 ounce of simple syrup, and 1/4 ounce of half and half. It's a weird one.
It's a weird one, but it fits our theme because we have a principle-centric episode.
We sure do. Why don't you tell us what it's about?
I'm going to tell you what it's about. So To Green with Love opens at a PTA meeting where the outraged parents of Capeside High are demanding the school board do something about the recent expulsion of Matt Caulfield. So to recap, Matt vandalized Joey's mural and Principal Green took swift action. Joey, Pacey, and Dawson watch in disgust as no one defends Principal Green. So Joey stands to do just that. And she gets into it with Matt's father. The superintendent decrees that Green has a few days to reverse his decision or he will ask for his resignation. The local news is there to cover the story, and they later cut together Joey's speech into footage that actually hurts Principal Green. So feeling guilty, Joey decides to take on the cause, both with Pacey and AJ's encouragement. So she organizes a protest in his honor. Pacey and AJ clash here and there throughout the episode. AJ takes digs at Pacey for having a weird name, among other things. So thanks to the protest, Joey actually gets in front of the superintendent, who warns her to call off the protest. But she says, if parents can protest at the school, then students can protest his office. She then lies and says she has a petition with over 300 student signatures on it. Joey's lie is another thing that AJ and Pacey clash over. AJ is in support of the bluff. She had to say something. But Pacey's spiraling over how they'll get those 300 signatures. Gail, meanwhile, clashes with a young reporter, Sherry, at the PTA meeting. And Sherry's there to cover the story for Gail's old station. It turns out that she's one of Gail's former interns. So Dawson encourages Gail to take on this cause in her own way by returning to her reporter roots and doing her own story on it, doing it freelance and pitching it to her old station. He'll shoot it, and if the station likes it, they'll run it, despite Sherry also doing a story for them. So Green refuses to do an interview, but they get in front of the superintendent, and Gail is able to catch him confessing to putting the community first before the students, which is in direct contradiction with his contract, which Gail has him read on camera. In addition to the petition, Joey warns the superintendents about a rally. So the Potter B&B becomes a headquarters for the cause. Jen, Andy, Jack, and many other students join the cause there, and they're really hitting their stride with getting organized. Bessie gets a call that threatens the business, and this causes a huge rift between Joey and Bessie, who questions why Joey is doing this and thinks maybe Principal Green was too harsh on Matt. Joey won't back down, and the girls fight. Bodhi brings up what no one wants to say. The people of Capeside wouldn't be coming down so hard on Principal Green if he were white. So Jen, ever so observant, now fully sees that Pacey has feelings for Joey and is jealous of AJ. So Jen and Pacey have a hypothetical conversation about how Pacey has fallen for the absolute worst person he could ever fall for. Jen encourages Pacey to tell this hypothetical person about his hypothetical feelings. Pacey says he has ducky written all over him. He's the best friend who just doesn't get the girl. Mr. Green doesn't want to attend the rally, and he doesn't want Nikki to either. He says fighting against these people and getting angry is just going to work against them. But Nikki says they have to try. Everyone is out there fighting for them, and they have to fight for themselves too. At the rally, Joey and all the students take turns talking about how Principal Green inspired them and how he's a special teacher and principal. During Nikki's speech, Principal Green shows up and thanks everyone for showing him support. As the crowd disperses, Joey sees Bessie and is happy that she showed up to support her as well. The next day, Joey tells Principal Green that she feels like she let him down, but he tells her that he's never been prouder in all his years of teaching. So with Principal Green, Refusing to give in, he and Nikki walk out of the school with the students watching them as they go, leaving Capeside High and Capeside for good. Gail gets word that the station is going to run her story that Dawson edited together, and they even ask her to return to the station, but she turns them down. It turns out that she just wanted the chance to say no. She wanted to leave the industry on her own accord, not be forced out. And she's actually really looking forward to opening Leary's Fresh Fish. So at the end of the episode, Pacey takes Joey to a building in downtown Capeside, and he reveals that he got her a wall. He rented it, and it's all hers. She can take her last mural to a new level and make it bigger and better. And Joey can't believe that Pacey bought her a wall, and that is To Green With Love.
You bought me a wall?
As you may or may not know, the buying of the wall is a huge fence post in Pacey Joey.
Yeah, it is.
The wall is a moment.
It is a moment, and it is going to stick with us for the remainder of the season.
It's going to come back. They always come back. Who wrote To Green With Love?
This episode was written by Gina Fattori. Most recently with us on the last episode. This is a nice little two-parter, and she got to write both parts, which is wonderful. We had the privilege of sitting down with Gina recently and chatting to her about the season and about the series.
Yes, it was amazing.
Amazing.
She gave us so much inside information, so many behind-the-scenes tidbits, which we can't wait to share. Due to the spoilery nature of it, we will air it after season three.
We talked a lot about season three.
Well, one of the tidbits that she did give us was that she wrote episode 15 and 16 of this season over winter hiatus. They take like a 2-3 week hiatus for Christmas and New Year's. And she was like, look, no one wanted to write episode 15 and 16. So I wrote them. I love getting those tidbits.
Absolutely.
And we were a huge fan of hers before, and now we're even more so.
She was so wonderful, so generous with her time. And we've talked about it the entire season of like, how did this play out? It was good to have her color in all that stuff we didn't know.
She filled in the blanks. Yeah. And she was very insightful. And her memory of the details was really impressive. Like just
yeah,
what she recalled.
Incredible. So something to look forward to.
Is it 7 weeks away? Yes. But, you know, as we have discovered, there are a lot of people who are watching the show for the first time. Sometimes we'll let something slip about things that happen in season five or how the series finales goes. And it reminds us that, you know, as a rewatch podcast, we probably should not be referencing spoilers. That went into the decision to hold the interview until the end of the season.
I think that's the right thing to do.
We want to be on the right side of history. Well, who directed To Green With Love?
This episode was directed by Kenneth Fink. I call him Ken because I've worked with him and he is fantastic. He has directed so many episodes of television, it's crazy. He's directed 51 episodes of CSI, the original. He's directed 8 Homicide: Life on the Street, 10 episodes of Revenge, 4 episodes of Gotham. I worked with him on a series called Nikita. He directed 5 episodes for us. And most recently, he has directed 5 episodes of CSI Las Vegas. Great person, great director. And this is his only episode of Dawson's Creek, which is surprising.
I wonder why that is. Do you know what I read on the interwebs? I read that this was the first episode to feature footage of snow in Capeside and the production had to shut down for a day due to the weather.
Yes, I was listening to another interview with Gina in preparation for our sit down with Gina, and she mentioned that it was, I think she said, the only time in her time on the show that it snowed in Wilmington. And so that's why if and when you watch this episode, you'll see snow exterior shots, and those are real.
Yeah, the crew shut down that day due to the weather, but Paul Stupin and Greg Prang made them go out and get the snow footage because they knew
probably wasn't going to happen again. Smart.
Yeah. Who is getting the guest cast shout out?
I think I need to split the guest cast shout out, and I've never done that before.
That's okay.
I'm going to give it first to Jessica Collins playing Sherry, who is the now field anchor, previously Gail's intern. She is a little soap star. She was in 430 episodes of the soap Loving, which was on ABC. She was in it from 91 to 94. The show itself was on from 83 to 95. And then she was in 426 episodes of The Young and the Restless from 2011 to 2015.
That's where I know her from.
She has a soap face. Like, once I read that, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
1000%. You probably wouldn't know, but she's very distinctly has a CBS soap look.
Okay.
Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful kind of have their own vibe. She's great.
She's still working. Most recently, she is on the Apple show Acapulco. She's a regular on that, and they're still going. They're shooting season 4 now, so she's still working.
Love to see it. It was a little Gail Weathers thing going on. She was like this sassy reporter. Joey gave her some lip. It was very like Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, Scream 1 vibes.
Totally. Completely agree.
Who else is getting the guest cast shout out?
The second person I want to give the guest cast shout out to is Lawrence Pressman playing Dr. Byron Fielding, who is the superintendent. His resume is unbelievable. He has 181 acting credits, shows and movies. He's been working since 1969. He's still working today. He was a regular on Doogie Howser. He was in every single episode, all 97 episodes of Doogie Howser. He has a million credits, like I said. In the last 10 years, just to keep it kind of current, he was in 6 episodes of Transparent, 7 episodes of Heart of Dixie. He was in episodes of Modern Family, 911, Hawaii 5-0, Better Things, Reboot, a bunch of episodes of Reboot. I loved that show. Did it get canceled after one season? In my mind, it was going to come back, and then it never did.
Yeah, it got canceled, and it was going to go to a different streamer for a minute, but it did not.
Ugh, it was such a good show. Give it a watch. It's really good.
It's very truthful, honest look into our industry.
Yes, absolutely. And most recently, Lawrence was in the Netflix animated series Carol and the End of the World last year. So he's still working, and he's a great actor. He's really good. So I felt like I couldn't choose between the two. They both deserved it. And also, this was the episode that I was going to shout out Lee Norris, but I couldn't do it. He only had one line, and these two really just stole the show. But yeah, Lee Norris was in the episode, a little cameo. You know him as Minkus from Boy Meets World or Mouth from One Tree Hill.
He's always great. It's always good to see him. But I love that you gave the guest stars to those two because they actually really were solid. And they were in a few scenes, but they really left an impression. And they were really good at playing those roles.
They were very well cast.
This was an interesting episode. I really liked this episode. Now, what is your music moment?
My music moment is Two Beds and a Coffee Machine by Savage Garden.
Me too.
That song had a hold on me after this episode.
Yeah. It plays during Principal Green's speech at the rally, and it's iconic.
It's iconic. It's like a sad Savage Garden song. It kind of reminds me of, it's not at all like the song, What Would You Do? What would you do if your son was at home? It's not at all like that song, but it's very adult themes and like just something that I would just sing. When it came on, I was like, I know every word to this song. And it's pretty adult. It's about a woman who is in an abusive relationship and takes her kids to a hotel, right? Isn't that what it's about?
I never really listened to the words, to be honest, but now I will.
She knows she has to go back, but she doesn't want to.
Oh, Lord, today.
It's great, though.
Well, this was a very adult-themed episode.
Totally.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that far, but it was...
No, definitely. Very adult and very timeless. The conflict felt like it could be happening now.
1,000%.
Do you have any past versus presents?
My past versus present was when I watched this episode the first time, I 1,000% did not even entertain the fact that it would end with him leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, the kids are going to overturn like the, you know, injustice and it'll be fine. And I was very shocked when it ended with Principal Green and Nikki leaving. You know, I was so young and naive. I just thought like, oh, the good guy will win and everything will be fine.
Similarly, mine was that I wanted him to prevail. And if it wasn't going to be because they realized that they were wrong, I wanted him to back down or for him to like stand up for himself or, you know, because his whole take, the whole entire episode is, why am I going to show my anger? Because if I show my anger, they're just going to use it against me. And I remember feeling like, no, you have to. It's not right. Like something's got to give. And now I'm like, yeah, no, I think he played it really well. I think that was the right move.
Yeah. A part of me does just want him to take back the expulsion.
Yeah. But if you believe in it and if he does believe in it and he truly felt that way, then what he did was, I think, better than, I guess what I'm saying is I understand why he did it the way he did it. Not necessarily that I would do it the same.
Yeah. 1,000%. He's just a man who holds his value system very dear. And at the end of the day, it is just a job.
And he went out on his own terms.
Your values are more important, one would maybe argue.
One maybe would argue that.
Well, should we dive in?
Let's dive in.
The episode starts hot. It's a PTA school board meeting. Parents are outraged. People are screaming. It's chaos.
Screaming. People are upset.
It's giving like witch hunt vibes.
It was interesting to me too, because the superintendent was not on the side of the kids, but like, this is the decision the principal has made. This is what we're doing. And then the second that Matt's father started speaking up, he completely changed his tune. And that's when he put out the kind of ticking clock on Principal Green. Take away the expulsion or you're gone.
Mm-hmm. I think he just thought it was just not going away. It was getting rowdier and rowdier. Joey has had it. Joey, no one is defending Principal Green. So she gets up to defend him. And then Matt's dad is like, I don't think a woman with your family values would even know what I'm talking about. And then Pacey and Dawson are not happy to hear that.
They're like, don't you dare talk about her family values. You don't know her family values. I love how emphatically Pacey claps through this whole episode anytime he hears something that he likes.
Dawson stands and says, you don't know anything about her family. And then the superintendent bangs the gavel. It's basically a trial.
Just like everything else at this school.
You know, to what Bodhi says later, everyone there is white and everyone there is outraged. If Principal Green does not reverse his decision by Friday, the superintendent Fielding is going to ask for his resignation.
Yep.
It is drama. Rama.
It is drama. And then we come back to Sherry doing her initial report and Gail creepily standing in the background of the shot, which really cracked me up.
Miss Leary, I mean, Gail, you look terrific. Thanks for being an old bitch that paved the way for me.
Did you feel that? Did you feel like she was being very condescending right off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
I remembered thinking it was worse than it was. Like, she definitely has that tone and that twinkle in her eye. She doesn't say anything too crazy. She says the new generation of female reporters wouldn't be anywhere without veteran trailblazers like you.
Yeah, but she's like, I need to go put together my story. You remember what that's like. Or like, you remember those days.
Yeah, deadlines. You remember how deadlines work.
The funny thing is, as soon as the live telecast, it's not even live, you know, but like she's taping a segment. As soon as the camera turns off, she like, her smile becomes a frown and she's like grimacing and fixing her hair.
She's a bitch.
That's so real. I always smile for selfies and the second it's taken, I'm like, ugh, turn it off.
Pacey and Joey are walking the dock in their hats.
It's winter. They're not going to let us forget. Oh, it's written by Greg and Gina.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, it says it's written by Gina and Greg. And this is, which you'll hear all about at the end of the season, kind of the period where Greg Berlanti was taking over as showrunner and having his hand across all episodes. So maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. Pacey's like, Joe, you got to do something. And she's like, do what, Pace?
Paint another mural.
I'm a teenager. What am I supposed to do?
He's like, stop being a whiny little brat. Figure it out.
They talk about TRL. That's cool.
Yeah. TRL was everything to me.
Everything.
I used to come home from school and I would pull a chair up to the kitchen counter where the TV was and like sit there and watch it. I remember, what's that NSYNC song?
Bye, bye, bye.
No. Angel? No.
Drive Myself Crazy.
Oh my God. I loved that song.
The phone. What's the phone one? The call.
Well, anyway, I remember when NSYNC had a video retired and I was inconsolable.
Wait, why did a video get retired again? It was on for like 50 straight weeks or something.
I forget. This sounds like a fever dream. Okay, Grandma, let's get you to bed.
You need to take your ginkgo, and so do I. Okay, so Pacey and Joey are like,
God must have spent a little more time on you. I figured it out.
Not me. God spent 5 seconds, threw it together. Yeah, going down the conveyor
I'm
belt.
Half baked.
I know that wasn't written about me.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
What a wild concept for a song. Wow. Okay, Pacey and Joey, you know, they're struggling with like, we're not going to be able to get kids behind this. All kids care about is TRL. Joey calls AJ, who is condescending and a nightmare as usual. And he's like, Pacey, what kind of a name is Pacey? Bessie is like, Joey, you're on the news. The news segment plays like a propaganda, like a political ad, like this picture of Principal Green. And he's like screaming
and pointing.
Matt Caulfield looks like all American. And then they, of course, play Joey's soundbite where she says this whole thing got blown out of proportion, but they distort it. So it looks like she thinks that Principal Green blew it out of proportion.
She's like, I didn't say that. Well, not in that context. It's her introduction to editing.
Which is crazy that a local news station would do this. So now Joey feels even more responsible and guilty and inspired to rally around Principal Green.
Absolutely. So she goes to school the next day and starts trying to convince everyone that they need to stand up for what's right. And Pacey says, "You took my advice." And she's like, "No, I didn't take your advice. I took AJ's advice," which was basically the exact same advice.
The exact same thing. And then AJ just shows up at Capeside High.
Bold.
Go back to college.
Go grade your papers.
Take your bowl cut and go.
Take your attitude out of here.
Why is she so adamant that it's not Pacey's idea? She just doesn't want to give him the satisfaction of knowing that she loves him.
When they're having that conversation and she says, "You were encouraging, but the meeting was AJ's idea." She's taping up flyers and she is wearing like a little tape dispenser bracelet. Did you notice?
No.
It looks like a really pretty cool contraption and I think I want one.
Maybe we should invent it.
Well, it looks like it's already invented. Unless she made it herself.
Joshua Jackson's face acting. He's hurt. He's jealous when he sees AJ.
Top notch.
He has like tears in his eyes almost, but they're so subtle.
So subtle. It's really great. God, can you imagine being Principal Green?
In what sense?
I don't know. Just having to walk through a group of protesters and local news teams to get to your job.
No, it's awful.
And it's all about you.
It's awful. Dawson is very impressed and turned on by Joey's performance at the PTA meeting. He's like, "She was so confident. You should have seen her. Oh, she was standing up for herself." But also, Gail was there. So is he talking about more what Joey was doing at school?
Good question. Gail's like, "You're proud of her." And he's like, "Yeah, something like that. Something like that."
Oh, so as we know, this is a little Easter egg. Dawson is helping Gail out at Leary's Fresh Fish as punishment for getting drunk in the Valentine's Day episode. Mitch was like, "You're off the rails. You're crazy this year. You're stealing boats. You're going to help your mother out.
You're going to do whatever it is she needs you to do." So in this first scene together, they're assembling candles or like centerpiece lights. And Dawson's like, "Hey, I'm here at your disposal to do whatever you need. And you know what that could mean? I could be your cameraman. Let's make our own news story.
Let's get the band back together." She's going to freelance, put together a little package, and she's going to submit it to the same station that Sherry works at. And may the best package win, kind of a thing.
She's very determined to get the truth out there and to be on the side of truth, whatever that truth may be. Gail has integrity as a reporter, and Sherry does not.
Sherry is a trash bag.
They go the next day. Gail's on board. She's there with her little team, which is Dawson, and a microphone. And Pacey comes up with coffee. And AJ goes, "Thanks. Hot coffee really boosts morale." Like he's a PA or something.
AJ is so kind of, he's like a year or two older than them. And I cannot stand him. Or his little like fingerless mittens. Ugh. We didn't talk about how Leary's Fresh Fish has stained glass windows. My favorite.
Oh, love.
Love.
Love, love,
love. Love, 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 love,
love. Sherry comes up and tells Joey she'd love an interview. Joey's like, "Yeah, right. As if.
In your dreams, bitch." She literally says, "In your frosted blonde dreams, babe." When Gail lets Sherry know that she's going to submit her package to the station, Sherry says, "Well, good luck with that, Gail."
Sherry sucks.
Gail doesn't need luck, okay? She has talent and integrity.
She's got experience. She's got it all. What do you have,
what
Sherry?
What do you, Sherry? Bleach blonde hose bag. One of the signs outside the superintendent's office says, "Green has principles."
Beautiful.
We love a witty protest sign.
Yeah, we do.
As someone who went on strike for like 100 days, let me tell you, coming up with those signs is not easy.
You know, thank God this protest didn't last too long. They'd be running out of material. You guys were professional writers and you were running out of material.
It was awful. So Superintendent Fielding will meet with Joey, the organizer of the protest. And she goes inside. She takes a couple digs at him. She's like, "I don't even know you. You show up at football games."
He's like, "I take it you know who I am." And she goes, "Yeah, the guy who shows up at football games and graduation."
Zing.
Zing.
I mean, she's full Joey, chip on her shoulder. She's coming in hot.
She's coming in hot, and he's not really having it. My take on his character up until this point in the episode is he was kind of on the side of doing right and doing good. Then he realized that that was the path of most resistance and that the path of least resistance would just be steamrolling and shutting down the kids because Principal Green isn't taking any action. So the parents are going to be too tough to handle. So he's like, just trying to shut down the kids. And Joey is the top of the kids. She lies about how many kids are on her side.
Sorry. She feels like she needs to up the stakes a little bit. So she says, all the students are behind me. I have
300.
Yeah, we have a petition. We're going to rally. It's everyone's on Green's side.
Exaggeration.
Lie. And Pacey's spiraling. He's like, how are we going to get all of these signatures? And AJ's like, she had to do it. She had to bluff.
Yeah.
Stop.
Take it easy, AJ.
Stop. But the Potter B&B has become like, you know, headquarters, Principal Green headquarters.
Before, one quick thing before she leaves the superintendent office that I loved, he says, well, you better get out of here before that principal you love so much has to give you detention for cutting class. She says, who's cutting class? I'm out with a cold. She's thought of everything.
She's not having it. Fielding. Gail and Dawson try in vain to get Principal Green to come on camera and say something. And he's just not giving anyone the satisfaction to explain himself. He was just doing his job, period, point blank.
And he says, it's not my job to prove to people that I'm a fair and decent man. If they don't know that by now, some soundbite on a television show isn't going to help. Like, he's like, I am who I am. I've done what I've done. And if people have misinterpreted it, that's not my business.
Yeah, it's a gamble. It doesn't pay off. So Potter B&B has become like headquarters for this cause. Jen's there, Jack's there, Andy's there, a bunch of other students are there. They're all doing their part. AJ's there, AJ and Joey kiss, Pacey's jealous, Jen notices, Bessie gets a call that someone's threatening the business. I mean, there's a lot of drama happening.
A lot of drama happening. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I love this era of Pacey-Jen friendship. Like, Jen is kind of the voice of Pacey's crush on Joey. In every episode, she's noticing things. She's asking questions. And this episode is the same. She's like, are you okay? You know, she's there for him. It's very cute.
Yeah. Jen is a very observant. She knows everything going on. She's picked up on it a few times. I believe the first time was Four to Tango. And she's touched base with Pacey a few times about this. The call to the Potter B&B really rattles Bessie. She's like, we cannot risk our business for this. And then Bodie is like, look, if Principal Green was a different race, Capeside would not be reacting like this. So he's totally Team Joey, and he believes that she should fight for Principal Green. And he's totally on board with standing up for what's right, no matter what the cost.
Yeah.
But Bessie has now expressed her doubts. The Potter girls are not a unified front on this.
Bessie's losing it. Bessie is upset. She's worried about the mortgage. She's worried about the house. Bigger than Joey. Joey's going to be gone soon. And Bessie and Bodie are going to be the ones here to pick up the pieces.
Bessie, in her defense, is just asking Joey to be a little more realistic about the situation. Like, is all this worth our future? Putting it all on the line. So she's not going as far as denouncing any of it, but she's just more like, maybe we should take a closer look here. Like, the call freaked her out. She's spooked a little bit.
Yeah. AJ sucks.
AJ's like, I have to go.
He's like, look, I've given you all my good ideas and now I'm out of town, babe. I gotta go grade papers.
So I think he feels guilty that he's caused all this and now they're getting threats. It's gotten bigger than what he, I think, anticipated.
Yeah.
But the ship's going down and he's running.
He's like, I gotta get out of here.
It's like a little rat running.
I can't be around when all this falls out. I'm in college. I got stuff to lose.
Pacey, meanwhile, is out there stapling posters. He's doing everything for Joey.
He's being ducky, as Jen pointed out.
Pacey points it out.
Oh.
Pacey's like, the ducky. Ducky never gets the girl. And she's like, who's ducky?
I love Bodie.
Love Bodie.
I also love Joey's little hoodie sweater, like a knit sweater with a hood. So cute.
Yeah, those are kind of back.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few.
Love that.
They're very old navy.
Gail is a boss. She's determined to find the truth. She's determined to be the one that turns the tide in this.
Do you mean when she's interviewing Superintendent Fielding?
Yes. So Gail goes into Superintendent Fielding's office ready for an interview. He's ready for an interview. And she is having a conversation with him about what he owes and to who. And he says that he owes the community to do the right thing. And she says, you owe the community or the students? And he says, the community. And she says, well, take a look at this. And pulls out the contract that he has signed. And it says that he will first and foremost serve the students and their best interests.
He catches him in a big lie. Not a big lie, just a big fumble. And he gets very embarrassed. And he's like, this interview is over. Cut the cameras.
He runs out, hand in front of his face. And Dawson has a little smirk. He knows. Way to go, Mom.
I am shocked at... just knowing Dawson and how OCD and anal he is, that his video camera is like almost dead.
I know.
Did you notice the battery bar?
I did. And I mean, we know that he has a spare battery in his bag, I'm sure. But what would happen if mid-interview it just cut out?
I know. Gail's whole package would be ruined.
That would be a real twist. Dawson is so pleased that Gail caught him, painted him into a corner like that.
He's proud of his mom. It's kind of cute. He's like, I love my mommy.
He's proud of Joey. He's proud of his mom. Proud of all the women in his life.
Speaking of women in his life, Nikki Green wants to go to the rally to support her dad.
And she wants her dad to go with her.
He doesn't want her to go.
He definitely doesn't want to go, and he does not want her to go.
Yeah, I think, you know, because it looks bad if he doesn't go and she goes.
And he's like, I know I did the right thing. And of course I'm angry. How could I not be angry? Because she thinks that he's like just sitting around fine with everything that's happening. He's like, no, no, no.
Yeah. But her point is, all these people are fighting for you. Like, we need to at least go and show our like gratitude and support of them for fighting for you. And her words must get through to him because he shows up. He shows up at the rally as everyone is just saying how wonderful he is and how inspirational he is. And then he gives a speech, and that is when the Savage Garden song plays.
It's really something special.
But I liked her Nikki speech when she's like, I'm new, I don't know any of you, but I know you through my dad's stories. Like, he talks about you guys at home during dinner when we're doing dishes. That was really cute.
It's really sweet. It's a really good, they have a good showing, and they, Joey says, let's go around and let's talk about what Principal Green has done for us. And there's a little montage of everybody telling their own personal experiences. And it's really, really sweet.
That must be weird. As a child of a faculty member, I never thought about it. Like, because parents talk about work at home, right? Like their coworkers and whatnot. Like, when you're the kid of a teacher, do you just hear at home? Like, do your parents complain about other teachers and kids? That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Jen gives Pacey props on just, you know, getting the rally together. And says every ducky will have his day. And Joey's out here politicking. She's in with the crowd. She's laughing. She's thanking people for coming. Bodie's there. Bessie comes.
Bodie's there. Bodie's being so supportive. I love that. Thank God we're over Andy's early season 3 hair. Thank God.
Are we? We're kind of still in it.
It's improved. This episode,
I'm like... when they were like infantilizing her?
Yes. And her short, weird bangs. I don't know. She looks very Andy this episode in a way that I like. She looks like herself.
Yeah. She's getting back to herself. There just definitely was no plan for her this season. And then I don't think the showrunner change helped anything. What we do need to mention is we've been saying that Alex Gonzo was the season 3 showrunner. And then it switched to Greg after the cast mutiny around the Witch Island episode. The Witch Island Thanksgiving episode. However, I've been reading this book. You always know the title. Freaks, Gleeks, and
Dawson's Creek.
Is that the name of it? So it's this book that it's really just kind of like a commentary on all of these shows. And the author put together all these tidbits from interviews. And I'm sure she interviewed some people for the book too. But in the Dawson's Creek section, it says that actually Tammy Ader, who wrote episode 301, Like a Virgin, was the new showrunner after Kevin. However, she got fired after she handed in the script for episode 1. So that would be why we were a little baffled at the time why she was writing episode 1 and it wasn't Alex and it wasn't. It seemed very random that this one-off writer. So she was actually the showrunner at the start of season 3. And another thing that the book talks about is how Alex Gonza did not want this job. Like, he took this job, it literally says, because he wanted to buy a house. And he kept a calendar in his office counting down the days of when season 3 would be over. And that Tom
Kapanos.
We've been saying Kapanos, Tom Kapanos, would go into the office and Alex would say, you know, Tom, never take this job. I'm counting down the days. I just want a house. And as we know, Tom becomes the showrunner of season 5 and 6. So he did take the job eventually over from Greg. It's a good little book. It gives little tidbits. I've talked in the past too about the twinkle lights, how they could never have enough twinkle lights. And the set designer always tried to pare back on the twinkle lights, and how Paul Stupid would call, you know, you'd be like watching a feed or something and you'd be like, we need more twinkle lights down there. And for the, I don't remember if it's the season 3 prom or the season 4 prom. It must be the season 4 prom. They use 9 miles of twinkle lights.
Wow.
Because season 4 prom is one that takes place on the boat, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good little book. It gives little insights into things. It also mentions, I've always wondered where the Dawson's Creek writer's offices are, because a lot of the time the writer's offices are on the same lot as the sets and the sound stages. But since Dawson's Creek was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina, the writers of Dawson's were in LA, and they actually were in a building at the corner of Olympic and Bundy, which is where my LA Fitness is. So I've been going there for 10 years, and it was just crazy to find out that they worked in that building. So that book has a lot of good little tidbits in it. And I say this to say, before the original season 3 showrunner shakeup, cast mutiny, there was already a showrunner shakeup after episode 1. So who knows what the plan for Andy was in Tammy's vision or Alex's vision. But I mean, to your point, yes, it feels like the last few episodes Andy's getting more and more herself, but the Rob party girl who cried wolf kind of a thing,
that stuff was crazy. The stealing the test, it's all just out of character.
So anyway, season 3 Andy has not been great, but she's looking more herself. She's acting more herself.
We love that.
Guess what? The rally doesn't work. It's all been in vain. Joey is sorry. She feels like she let Principal Green down. And he's like, please, this is the best thing that's ever happened in my career, because I feel like so much support and so much love, and I've never been prouder.
When he comes, he talks to the students. He's like, it's wonderful to see this, to see the support, to see you all with your inner power. No matter how this shakes out, I just want to say thank you. It was a very heartwarming moment.
This is at the rally.
Yeah. Also, at the end of the rally, as you mentioned, Bessie shows up with Alexander, and it's a very cute moment because Bessie says to Joey, oh yeah, Alexander like couldn't stay away. He's really proud of you. She's basically saying all of her feelings through Alexander, which I thought was really cute. But also, Alexander is straight up a doll. Did you notice?
I 1000% noticed it wasn't a real child.
Yeah. Which is very common. Often, if you're going to see like the glimpse of a baby / toddler, it'll be a doll, but he was definitely a doll.
Yeah. The device of talking about your feelings using someone else as like a vehicle is common this season.
Pacey's done it a lot in the Joey context of like, so-and-so would be crazy to not do this.
So try it. Use it in your own life. Want to have a tough conversation? Just say, I don't think your dress is ugly, but if I was someone who did, I would tell you to change.
Hypothetically.
It's a strategy.
So as you said, we go back to Principal Green's office. Joey says, I can't help but feeling like I failed you. And he says, in all my years of education, I've never felt more successful than I do right now. It's just very sweet. He really, like, he goes out standing up on his own terms. He packs up his office. He gets out.
He and Nikki walk the halls.
Everyone claps. So heartwarming.
But she did fail him. She failed him.
She did not fail him.
She didn't change the superintendent's mind, did she?
She didn't.
Joey, classic Potter, losing. Just like your drug addict dad and your whore sister.
I was going to say your dead mother, but it felt like a step too far.
Yeah, that's too far. What the fuck is wrong with you? Gail is a badass bitch whose segment was better than Sherry's.
And you know what? She doesn't care. It's not her dream anymore.
I related to her saying this at the end so goddamn much. You know, when she's like, they asked me to come back and do like sporadic new segments here and there. And he's like, Mom, that's great. And she's like, I turned them down. Well, she hasn't actually given an answer yet, but she thinks she's going to turn them down because she just wanted to be asked. She wanted to be the one to say no. She wanted to be the one in charge of ending her career. She wanted to be the one to have that power, you know, because she was kind of forced out of her Philly station, as we know. And then when she came back to Cape Side, the rumors were just like she was too old. She went to try to make it in the big city. It didn't work. So she was kind of an outcast in the smaller news station circles. But just that idea of like, you want to be the one to say no is really relatable.
Totally.
Leaving a job or, yeah, getting a job offer and then saying no.
It's like, I didn't want to do it. I just didn't. I wanted to be the one to not, to choose to not do it.
Yeah. Like even something as small as like, if you're not invited to a party, you want to always be the one to kind of just be
the decider.
It's not like she was fired from the station, but if you're fired from an industry and then you get a chance to do it again, the power in saying no to that must be kind of incredible.
Yeah.
And now she's going to be her own boss at Leary's Fresh Fish.
She said, check in with me in 20 years when I retire from the fish industry.
I always have trouble saying Leary's Fresh Fish.
Fresh Fish.
And like, she's going to be her own boss and she's going to have a business. Like, that's the dream. Hello.
Absolutely.
What's she going to do? Go back to Capeside News with Bob?
Ugh.
Or that other guy she kissed on the lips that one time?
Thanks for the ride. Classic Gail. She's really a kook.
If we ever get Mary Margaret on the podcast, that's my number one question. What is with that guy you kissed in like episode 4? No, it was like episode 9 or 10. Or was it season 2?
I think it was season 2. It was before they had an open relationship.
Yes. When he like just couldn't trust her. He just could not get over his feelings. Why did you kiss that man in the mouth, Gail?
Is that a character choice or was that in the scripts? How did that come to be?
He bought me a wall.
Ugh.
Not bought, I rented.
I mean, he bought me a wall. As you said, this is like a cornerstone to Pacey Joey and their relationship.
Cornerstone. Yeah, I said fence post. I don't know where that came from. Words are hard.
It's just so cute.
No one's ever bought me a wall. No one's ever even bought me a brick.
Oh my God.
No one's bought me nothing. Just kidding.
I'm going to put in a phone call. Make sure someone buys you a brick.
I'll get angry texts. I've bought you so many things. You could almost smell the air in the last scene.
Yep.
You know, it's like winter. The ground is wet.
Crisp.
Angst. Romance. Love crushes.
Nostalgia. Fresh paint.
The wall is so big and he gives her like one can of paint.
He gives her like a half used can of paint.
The wall is so big.
And she's like, oh man, this is so crazy. Not really realizing it's going to take her a really long time to paint that wall.
Word to your mother. That's to green with love, yo.
It is. The greens are gone. Tis a sad story, but we are entering a new chapter in season 3. When we talked with Gina, we kind of talked about how, and it was something that we kind of suspected, that it was kind of broken up into the original season 3 era, and then the shakeup happened, and there was a era of like course correcting and righting the ship. And then the end of season 3 is a whole other era, and this is the start of that. Get excited.
1,000%.
What you watching?
Well, I've been doing a lot of horror movies because of Halloween, and I just watched a movie called It's What's Inside.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. That was really good. It's not really a horror movie. It's more of like a brain teasery, mind-bendy thriller. But it's about people who, it's a wedding weekend. One of them's getting married. They're all college friends. They show up, they decide to do a game night, but the one is like a tech guy and he brings a new game that he's like testing out, and they could switch personalities.
Oh.
And so then like the game night goes awry and like what happens, you know, you'll find out. But really just like a original premise, I thought. And it was one of those movies I watched where I was like, oh, I wish I wrote that. That's really cool. And then the other movie I saw was not a horror movie. It's called My Old Ass. With Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically like a teen girl on the verge of moving away to college meets her older self. She gets high and she meets her older self, which is played by Aubrey Plaza. And that was also really good. I cried.
Oh.
Which doesn't take much these days, but it was really good. And it had some Dawson's Creek-y vibes. Like they live on the water and she like works at her family business and like she rows her boat a lot. I'm sorry, it's a motorboat. She has a motor, but it was so cute. And not a lot of people are talking about it. Like, I don't think a lot of people know about it.
I feel like it's hard to know about anything.
There's too much.
Yeah. Unless there's a lot of publicity around something, it's like you have to wait until word of mouth. That's good to know.
What are you watching?
I am watching the latest season of Love is Blind. I don't know how many episodes are out. They'll drop like 4 and then they'll drop another 4 and they'll drop another 4. So I'm just kind of like slowly making my way through them. But speaking of crying... I was crying the other day watching it. There's this one couple, I'm not out of the pod episodes yet, but they are engaged. And I feel like they are so truly in love. I swear to God.
Wait, okay, so they see each other's face and then they get engaged, right?
No.
They get engaged in the pod?
So in the pod, they talk to each other through the wall.
Right.
The only way to get out of the pod is to get
Is to get engaged.
engaged.
Oh, see, okay, I forgot about that. Okay.
So they get engaged and then they see each other, and that's when they like put the ring on the finger, but they're like quote unquote engaged when they come out of the pod.
Okay. I think I forgot about the element. I think because I remember them like walking down that hallway when they first see each other. And maybe I'm just like infused them getting engaged in that moment, like into that scene. So did you cry because they're really in love or?
They just had this really deep conversation. I mean, they've had many deep conversations. I don't know what's happening with these two.
Now, let me ask you, the reason I stopped watching Love is Blind is because season one was such a phenomenon. And it felt like one of those shows where people were just going to audition to like take advantage of the like clout chasing, you know? Do you feel like people still go on to use it as the purpose of a dating show
I
today?
think some people do, and I think some people are only there to get famous. I think it's a very mixed bag.
Now, you just talked about Love is Blind a few weeks ago. Was that UK?
Yes, it was UK, but this season came out. I feel like the last US season was really not that long ago. It was like US, UK, US. There was no space between. I think they must have shot these simultaneously or close to
Yeah.
simultaneously because they came out one after the other.
Maybe I'll check it out.
All right, I think that's it.
Now, what will we be drinking for next week?
Next week, we will be drinking the Buzz. You will need Reposado tequila, coffee liqueur, creme de cacao, and heavy cream. It's kind of like a take on the espresso martini,
Oh, with tequila.
but with tequila.
I love that.
Me too. We'll find out why it's called the Buzz next week.
Next week's is cute. That's a game changer.
It is.
Well, that's all we got for this.
That's all we got. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.